get all mic'd up here. Yeah, I like to be fast. Short and sweet to the point. You can turn to Philippians 4. Am I going to reverb all over the place up here? Cool. All right. We get everybody hooked on and turned on. After 50 minutes with the teenagers downstairs, I was done. I don't know if you've ever dealt with teens, but they're a fun crowd to deal with. So, all right, Philippians chapter number 4, and my title, or what we're going to be looking at this morning, is the issue of think on these things. And Philippians chapter number 4 is the text verse here. And I'm trying to make sure get all my little notes out here that I need. All right. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 8. Let's read that and then we'll get started this morning. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning, Lord, and as we look at the passage here and the issue of having a sound mind and having a proper thinking process, that we would do so with our hearts open and our ears attuned to the Word. We just rejoice in the Word. In your name we pray. Amen. The text verse here, what we're going to be talking about is at the end of the verse, it says, think on these things. And we're going to be looking at the issue this morning. Last hour you saw your identity in Christ, and I've got actually three messages, and they're all connected. I've tried to connect them in talking. When you come to Calvary and you're justified, and you are placed into Christ, and you have that identity in Christ, and you begin to walk as a member of the body of Christ. When the Word of God equips you to get saved, you hear the gospel and you trust the gospel and you're saved, the power of the gospel. Romans 1 there, I didn't hear the Q&A, but Dad was talking about it there at the end about Romans 1:16, and now I can't quote it right. So, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You get saved, and then you start your Christian life. Your Christian life exists 24/7. It isn't just Sunday morning. It isn't just Wednesday night. It isn't just at camp. It isn't just at a Bible conference. It's all the time. This is your new identity. This is that new creature, that new man, and you begin to walk in life, and as you begin to walk in life, there is an issue there of how to be thinking about things, and how to have a sound mind, and how to look at an issue of when things do come up, how to handle them, and how to go through it, and it is an issue of maturity, and it is an issue of growth. As you go along life's way, I want to look with you at an example with you. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I want to look with you at an example this morning about the proper thinking process to have in Scripture when things come your way. It's fascinating. Last night John was talking about making decisions where the Word of God is silent. There's a wonderful passage in 1 Corinthians 6 and again in chapter 10 about things that are expedient and things that put me under bondage and things that edify not, and how to make decisions where the Scripture doesn't say do this and do that. It gives you God requires you as an adult in His family to grow up and make some decisions for yourself, and that's part of being an adult in the family of God. And there are things, but when you're thinking properly, then when you look at the expediency and the bondage issue and the edifying and this and that, you can make them a little quicker and a little easier, and things come and begin to flow. And how you do that is by renewing your mind with the Scripture. But in 2 Timothy 1 here, we see an example of this, and we're going to come back to Philippians 4 and look at that list there about the things that you should be thinking. But I want to show you Timothy. Because in Timothy, Paul talks in verse number 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And this is a time in Timothy's life when he's having a rough time. And Paul says, "Tim, you're operating in the wrong thinking element here. You have this spirit of fear, and you've gotten yourself down under the guns, and you're not supposed to be operating that way. You're not supposed to be thinking that way. You're supposed to be thinking of a sound mind." If you go back up in verse 4, we'll just look at the issue here. We'll just look at verse 7. Paul to Timothy here, "For God hath not given it to you, the spirit of fear." That issue of not, we're not to have this spirit about us of fear. That word spirit, it's a disposition of the mind. It's something how you think about it. You know, we'll sit there and look at an animal and say they've got a good spirit about them or they got a bad spirit about them. And it's an issue in the thinking. And then he talks about fear. That the emotion in the moment. And Timothy's, he's a little bit under the gun here. We're going to see over in verse 15 that "this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me." He's in a moment, the circumstances around him where his mind has got him not where he should be. So much so that Paul now is going to kind of bring Timothy along and remind him of where he should be. And Timothy here, he's in the wrong mindset. Rather than thinking about the sound doctrine, rather than having the doctrine work and build and grow and do, Timothy's over here underneath his emotions have got him. And he's down. And if you look back up at verse 4, "greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears." Timothy is brought under the situation and the circumstance of really being afflicted because of his association with Paul, that he's down. I mean, he's depressed. He's down in the dumps. He's crying. Paul's like, "Wait a minute, Tim. You're not supposed to be there. You have this sound mind. Have the proper thinking. Rather, we've been given a way of thinking." And Paul begins to talk here with Timothy in his tears in verse 4. Tim's been beaten up. If you come back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, just hold on to 2 Timothy, but 1 Timothy 1. I only have a little bit of an hour with you, and I got a lot to go, so we'll kind of move a little quick. And if we get out early, then we get out early, okay? 1 Timothy, chapter number 1, verse number 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my son, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." He's at Ephesus. He's been sent to Ephesus, and he's there to charge them to teach no other doctrine. But when you come over back to 2 Timothy 1, what's happened at Ephesus in verse 15? What's going on at Ephesus? They have what? Left him. They've turned away from him. They've left Paul. And you know who's the preacher there? You know who's in charge there? There's Timothy. "Timothy, I left you there to charge them that they teach no other doctrine." And when you get to 2 Timothy 1:15, "this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phygelus and Hermogenes." It's beginning to fall apart around Timothy. Timothy sees it happening. And I'm, you know, as a preacher, when you start seeing people leave, well, what am I doing wrong? What have I said wrong? And then you begin to start self-doubting and you begin to start self-critiquing. And Paul's like, "Timothy, don't know. That's the wrong thinking. God gave us the mindset of a sound mind." And where we get the sound mind, again, is from renewing your mind with the Scriptures and your identity in Christ. He's well aware of what's happening to Timothy, and he took it personally. Verse number 5, 2 Timothy verse 1, verse 5, Paul begins to remind Timothy. Timothy looks around him, and everything's falling apart, and everything's just coming unglued. And he says, remember, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. You flip back to 1 Timothy 1 again, and verse number 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned. That faith that it doesn't waffle, it stays the course. And Timothy had learned it from his mother. You go back to Acts 16, and there she shows up. If you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. But just I'm trying to show you an example here, I guess, with Timothy about this issue of some proper thinking and what Paul does with Timothy. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What has happened with Timothy and his growth, and when he was growing up? What did Eunice, what did his mom and his grandmother do? They taught him the Word. They had the Scriptures there. Timothy knew what to do. He didn't have to go, well, what do I do? You know, when you don't know what you do, you know what you're supposed to do, don't you? You know, I called Dad one time and said, what do I do? He goes, you know what you need to go do. And that was get back in the Word, study the Word, renew your mind, get that thinking back in place. In verse 5 of chapter 1, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first, and thy grandmother Lois, and then thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Persuaded. Over there in Romans, Paul says, let every man be persuaded in his own mind. He talks about Abraham was persuaded. That issue of coming to a conclusion, of seeing the information. Verse 12, just in the same chapter. For the which cause I also suffered these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. We sang that song, and that issue of being persuaded. You see the information, you see the doctrine, you see it work, and you come to a conclusion that it's going to work. And all that I have to do is what? Relax, trust it, obey it, live it, and let it work in me. Verse 6, he says, therefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on my hands. The gift of God there, the doctrine, the sound doctrine that Paul knows that's in Timothy. But yet what has Timothy done in the circumstance? He's underneath his emotions. He's over here not thinking properly. Verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Timothy, God didn't give you this spirit of fear, this mindset that all is lost. You know, when you talk about fear, you look it up in the dictionary and it talks about anxiety. and it talks about an uneasiness of mind. And that's what's going on here with Timothy. Timothy, he began right. He's in Christ, he's walking along, and circumstances around him have begun to dictate that, uh-oh, it's all falling apart. And when it's all falling apart, you know what happens, don't you? Woe is me comes out, and the pity shows up. And Paul says, Timothy, Paul, God didn't give you that. Rather, He gave you the power and of love and of a sound mind. Timothy had allowed the emotions of fear to totally consume his thinking. And when you begin to think about the thinking, he let it get him, you know, so that you know what he began to do? He began to think improperly. He began to think about in the wrong manner. And Paul rebukes him here. And Paul, God didn't give you this. Go back over with me to Romans chapter 8. Notice what happens with this issue of the spirit of fear. Romans 8, and really the improper thinking, if you will. Romans 8, verse number 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You see, fear, that anxiety, that uneasiness of mind. Paul calls it in verse 15 the spirit of bondage again to fear. But ye received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba Father. That bondage. And you know Galatians 5:1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty where Christ hath made you free. I know it. I just can't say it. I told John back there, I got to get the teenagers out of my head to talk to the adults. Because the teenagers, they got in my head. So, which is okay. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Where there's a bondage, where there's something controlling you improperly, there's no liberty. We didn't get the spirit of bondage, did we? What did we get? Romans 8:15 there. We got the spirit of adoption. We got the liberty. Go back to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 again. Timothy was sitting, he has all this stuff falling down around him, and he's thinking improperly, and Paul comes along and says, hey, wait a minute, Tim, you didn't get that from God. You got that from yourself. You got that over there from feeling sorry for yourself, but rather, you were given power and of love and of a sound mind. The power that's there because of who you are in Christ. The power that's there from the Word of God. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse number 4. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4. And my speech, Paul talking to the Corinthians there, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What did Paul do at Corinth? He didn't go in there with human wisdom. What did he go in there with? God's wisdom, the Word of God. And he says that was the power of God. And that's what he's telling Timothy. Look over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. At home, we're going through 2 Corinthians in our Sunday school. And 2 Corinthians is a wonderful book because Paul deals with really a lot of different things, but more importantly, Paul opens up and shows you his ministry and shows you his heart. And he says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, when you begin to look at it and say, I can do this, I can do it, it's not about us. The power is His. The love. Paul tells Timothy he's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. What's the love of Christ? We always quote 2 Corinthians 5:14 there, the love of Christ constrains you. But what is the love of Christ? What is it? Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What is His love? I don't know if you've ever thought about that. What is His love? It's Christ dying for your sins. It's Him, Calvary, and He's given that to us. And then he says about the issue of the sound mind. Come over with me to Ephesians chapter 4. So hopefully, Ephesians chapter 4, you get the picture in your mind about Timothy. The circumstances around Timothy is he's failed. Paul left me in charge, and they're leaving, and they're dropping off by the numbers. He went from 100 to 10, rather than 10 to 100. You know, you ever talk to the big guys? What do they say? Well, we started as 10 and now we're 10,000. Timothy didn't do that. He started with a big crowd. You look over there in Acts and Paul's leaving the elders at Ephesus and they hug on him and they love on him. That's not a small group. That's a big group and they're starting to drop off. And you know who's in charge? Timothy. And he's crying about it. He's weeping over it. And he's let the anxiety of the moment get him. And Paul comes along and says, Timothy, you're thinking wrong. Think this way. This is how you're supposed to be thinking. Think on these things. God didn't give you that way of thinking. He gave you power and love. He gave you Him. He gave you Himself in Christ and who you are in Christ. But He also gave you a sound mind. And it's a thinking process. Ephesians 4, verse number 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your what? What? Mind, wake up. Mind. Where does that thinking process, I think the question was asked last night about Satan. You know where Satan gets you? In your thinking process. You know that? If he can get you to think one way, where Scripture tells you to go the other, he's got you. Colossians 2 talks about that. It's in your thinking process. The issue of the battle for your mind. And Paul says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Flip over with me to Romans 12. The issue of your thinking is a powerful issue when you talk about how your mind and what your mind should be thinking about. We got up here, coming across the desert. We left 115 degree heat to come up here into the nice, what is it, 100 outside maybe? And it was a cool breeze, okay? We get up here. First thing, do we have internet? I'm thinking about unloading the U-Haul trailer. Do we have internet? Do we have this? Do we have that? What are we thinking about? It's a constant struggle about what consumes your thought process. Romans chapter 12, the first two verses are great verses. They get talked about a lot. But notice where we're at in Romans 12. We are 11 chapters in the book of Romans, aren't we? In the first 11 chapters, Paul doesn't tell you to go do any service at all. He doesn't use the word term. He talks about you being servants of righteousness in your identity. That's who you are now. But he doesn't say, go do. It's time to go work. He should get the first 11 chapters down. And now, verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your, what? Reasonable service. Notice that word, reasonable. What's in that word?
Reason.
Think. Your reasonable service, well, how do you think about this? What are you doing? You notice Paul doesn't say, do this, do this, do that, do this, do this. That beseeching in verse 1, I don't know if you've ever followed that word down, but that's a wonderful word. Go over with me to Philemon. And notice the beseeching issue here real quickly. Because this is all about the way you think. And again, the title of this is Think on These Things, and we'll get back to Philippians 4, but it's that issue of your mind. You've come to understand who you are in Christ. Don't leave Romans 12, by the way. Stick something in it. Okay? One hand here, two hands there. You've come to understand who you are in Christ. And you're beginning to walk. And the thing that begins to change is the way you think about things. And the way that you consume the information that comes in at you. Philemon 8. Philemon chapter 8. Verse 8. Philemon 8. This issue about beseeching. Philemon 8, Paul writes to, and hopefully you know the story here with Philemon, the situation. Onesimus has run off and Paul has, and he's ran into Paul and he's gotten saved and now Paul's going to send him back and he writes to Philemon and he says, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Paul, he says there to Philemon, I could come down, I could tell you, Philemon, what to do with Onesimus to accept him back. I could tell you that. I could demand of you to do that. And Paul had every right as the apostle to do that. But rather, watch verse number 9. Yet, for love's sake, I rather, what? Beseech thee. I rather, beseech, beg. For what sake? Not for me to come down there and tell you what to do, but for what? But for love's sake. A proper thinking process about Onesimus. And then he goes on, Paul goes on, being such as one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul was, obviously he's aged here, and he had the, you know, growing up we always said yes ma'am, yes sir to our elders, and he had respect for the elders, and Paul could have went down to Philemon, wrote Philemon and said, listen, you take him back, no questions asked. But Paul says, I don't want you to operate that way, because when you taking back no questions asked, that's a performance issue, that's a law issue. But he says, yet for love's sake I beseech thee to do this. Do it because you love me. Do it out of that issue of grace. Of, hey, do it because you love who you are in Christ. Do it. Have the proper thinking process. Come back over as we go back to Romans 12 and look at Philippians 1. Philippians 1, verse number 9. Philippians 1, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. You see what kind of love that is? That isn't a huggy-gooshy, you know, I love you stuff. It's a thinking love that's going to abound in knowledge and in judgment. Verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent. Approve them. We saw last night about proving things. Testing them, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. So when you go back to Romans 12, the issue of thinking, how do you think about this? And Paul says, I beseech thee, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God. You know, that mercies of God, what's he talking about? The first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, are they not the mercies of God? Your justification, your sanctification. What he's doing with the dispensate with Israel. There they are. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A way of thinking about this. Verse 2, that's the verse I'm after. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your, what? Your mind. That's the issue when you renew your mind. Now, how do you renew your mind? You renew your mind by the intake of sound doctrine, by the intake of the Word of God rightly divided. You know, we have a thing at home where we talk about they're scriptural but not dispensational. And that's the case. You renew your mind. So that, when you've renewed your mind, what's the rest of the verse say? That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You want to be able to say that this is good, acceptable, and perfect, and move in maturity from A to B to C. You have to do what? Renew your mind. Renew the way that you think about things, the way that you view things. Come over with me to Colossians chapter 3. The renewed mind. And that's how, honestly, you are to walk in your Christian life, is with the mind, with that renewed mind. And Paul expects that. Last night, when John was going through 1 Thessalonians 5 there, and those brief little statements, and bringing up file memory, that's because the Thessalonians were operating with a renewed mind. They weren't operating tossed to and fro. They said, this is it. This is where we're at. And he doesn't have to go in. He does that in the book of Ephesians as well. In the book of Ephesians, he doesn't have to go through the whole justification process. He can just say, you've forgiven all your sins. Well, I know what that means. I've been justified. Why? Because you're supposed to operate with the renewed mind. Colossians 3, verse number 10. And have put on the what? The new man, that identity in Christ, have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Ephesians chapter number 3, in the same light, in the same thought, verse 16, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Renewed in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3, verse 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. So this issue of having a sound mind and how to think about things is coming from a renewed mind in the sound doctrine. And a renewed mind in the knowledge of Him. that created him. In a renewed mind of what God is doing today. Now go back to 2 Timothy 1 and watch Paul take Timothy and reset Timothy's thinking and get Timothy to quit wallowing over here in self-pity and the woe is me and to think properly. Before we do that, go to the book of Ephesians just real quick. Ephesians chapter 5. The last several months, personally, in my own study, I've been trying to make sure that in teaching we can apply some of this to everyday life rather than just running a bunch of verses. Watch the issue of the renewed mind working in your life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 21, verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Then what does he say? What's the next word? Wives. Go down to verse 25. Husbands. If you continue along and you go to chapter 6, verse 1, children. Then you drop down to verse 4, fathers. And you drop down in verse 5, servants. And then you got in verse 9, masters. You know where we're at? We're right in your home, aren't we? And when you work down through the issue of having a sound mind and thinking properly, where does it start? Where does it manifest itself first? At home. Wives, love your husbands. Take care of them. Bring them Diet Cokes. No, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 25, husbands, love yourselves. Husbands, love your wives. There's that new Bible sitting out there. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What a statement for husbands. What a benchmark. What a way of thinking. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, I love this one. Be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto who? The boss? The Christ. What's the proper thinking about our jobs? Those of us who have them. Okay? Today, you never know. I got the phone call the other day, hey, are you coming back to the school bus? Can I drive a school bus? Are you coming back to the yard? I said, yeah, I'm coming back. I need that. What's the attitude to have about your job? Hate it, love it, indifferent? Isn't the issue, is it? Who are you supposed to be doing it for? Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of God of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You know what the will of God for you is? On your job is to be doing it for Him. That's proper thinking. That's a sound mind. Come back now to 2 Timothy 1 and watch Paul do this with Timothy. And he's going to take Timothy's mind. This is verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. That's been Timothy's mindset. That's the mindset that put Timothy in that spirit of fear. Is that issue of being ashamed of the testimony of the Lord and being ashamed of the Apostle Paul. And that's been the mindset. He has become ashamed of the sound doctrine, of the message. He's become ashamed to be associated with this and of Paul. So much so that he has been taken away. And Paul begins to think wrong. And he's fallen into the intimidation, the fear factor of the the adversary's attack plan on the messenger. The third phase in that attack that he has on the message, and he's fallen for it. And Paul begins to come in and to say, Timothy, come back out of that thinking, out of that mindset, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Who? Who? The power of God. Who? God hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a preacher, a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffered these things. Notice what Paul's doing here. Paul's reestablishing the sound mind in Timothy, because what's he start off with? Remember who? Be thou not ashamed, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Who hath? And Paul's taken Timothy's mind out of the self-pity, out of the spirit of fear, out of the improper thinking, and put it right back in the sound mind and in the proper thinking process. And he goes on, verse 12, For the which cause I also suffered these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy's not doing that, and Paul brings him back to it. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep. Notice Paul, hold fast, keep. This thou knowest, that all they which be in Asia be turned away from me. It's interesting, Paul says, me. He takes the onus off of Timothy. He doesn't say they left you, he says they left me. Over there in chapter 4, he says, Demas hath forsaken me. Paul's taken that onus unto him. Verse 16, Paul goes on, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Onesiphorus had the proper thinking about who Paul was. Actually, he went down there and got himself thrown in jail so he could be in the same cell with Paul. And he oft refreshed Paul. Verse 17, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. This is the attitude to have. This is the thinking to have. Chapter 2, verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Remember, Tim, come on, get your thinking back. Get back in the game. Remember, verse 22 of chapter 2, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions, what? Avoid. I mean, I know we pick fun with that, but what's going on with Timothy? What has he fallen to? Foolish and unlearned questions. What's he allowed to creep into his thinking? Bad stuff. Paul's getting him out of that. Verse 24, and the servant of the Lord all must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at, notice the last two words, his will. Satan's got a will, folks. Timothy's right in the middle of it. Why? Because he is thinking improperly. Chapter 3, verse 10. Timothy, keep remembering. Keep yourself, Timothy. Be careful. Remember. Verse number 10. Chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of all of them all the Lord delivered me. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live, what? Godly. Where? in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Notice Paul, hey guys, this is going to get bad, but continue, Tim. Come on, Tim, come back around. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee, what? Wise. What's making Timothy wise here? The Scriptures. Unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Timothy, remember, the Word of God's what's going to secure your thinking. Remember, to think properly, it's going to be the Word of God that's going to protect that thinking. Chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee. You ought to study the times when Paul says, I charge thee. I charge you. Be ready. Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing and His coming, and His kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What's happening there? Improper thinking. They've moved away from the sound doctrine. In verse 5, Paul, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Timothy's come, he's come back around. He's back now where Paul's exhorting him to continue. Come over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You see, Timothy, and the illustration I'm trying to point there with Timothy, is that Timothy succumbed to the circumstances and it knocked him off of the right thinking. He looked around him and said, oh no, what did I do? He's played the tapes back to make sure he said everything right and didn't offend anybody. And Paul's like, no, Timothy, remember. Come on, Tim. You're out of the game. Get back in the game. Come on, man. This is a sign of the times. They're going to do this. They're going to go this way. They're going to go that way. And you need to stay the course. You need to charge and be instant in season and out season and preach the word. Stay faithful. And you and I, we can do this. We can fall the same way. 2 Corinthians 4, the last three verses. Paul has come down in the chapter here dealing with the ministry issues. If you drop up at verse number 1, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Notice the thinking there. We have this ministry. The ministry of preaching the word rightly divided. The ministry of preaching the dispensation of grace. The ministry of preaching the power of God unto salvation. And the gospel of Christ. And he says, we're not going to do it deceitfully. We've got a certain thinking here. We're not going to do it dishonestly. We're not going to walk in craftiness. We're not going to handle the word of God deceitfully. Handling the word of God deceitfully is that issue of being scriptural but not dispensational. Making stuff say what it really isn't saying. But, notice the ministry. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And then Paul goes on down and he's talking about ministry and he comes down to verse 16, for which cause? No, back up to verse 14, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, and that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. You see, ministry and work is not about you, it's about who? It's about Him. It's about His life living in you. It's about His glory. For some more information. Which cause we faint not, for which cause? The redounding to the glory of God, the ministry. We don't faint. We don't stop. We don't quit. Why? Because we know something. We understand how to think about our situation, our circumstances. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man perish. I'm a year shy of 40. And I'm perishing. Stuff's hurting. Okay, the hair, I'm not losing my hair, that got cut off. But you climb that hill, knees hurt by the time you get to the top of the hill. You go into the doctor did the blood work, and he says, okay, I got good news, I got bad news. And I got no news. I said, well, I'd like no news at all, you know. Good news is no news. But he says, all your good numbers, all the numbers that should be good and high are low. And all the numbers that should be low are high. I'm like, well, that's not good. He goes, oh, no, that's not good. Why? The outward man what? Perishes. It begins to go away. Your eyes fall, you know. I heard one time when you ask somebody how they're doing, you always get an organ recital. This organ hurts, that organ hurts, this hurts, that. Okay? Why? What do we understand in our thinking? The outward man is going to do what? Perish. But the inward man is what? Renewed day by day. Now watch verse 17. Because we think this way, that the outward man is going to perish, and the inward man is going to be renewed day by day, so that tomorrow or the next time when we talk about laying hold of eternal life, and we get out there in the eternity, there's some things going on there, we think a certain way right here, right now in time. For our light affliction, which is but for a what? A moment. How many of you, don't raise your hand, you embarrass yourself, have had troubles over the last year? Okay? Did it last a long time? Well, to you it did, because you're what? In the moment. But what does God's Word say? That light, I love that light affliction. Have you, that light affliction, look over real quick at chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians here. And notice some things that Paul considered to be light afflictions. 2 Corinthians 11. We're just going to jump in at verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And journey often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness. You know what Paul says? That's all light affliction. Have you had to experience any of that? Could you imagine being beaten in Paul's day and not have an ER to run to get fixed? I can only imagine why they say his appearance is contemptible. Now you think about that. I mean, beaten. 40 save one, and it happened, I lost the patch a couple times. Having to have the back heel from all those stripes. And not be able to run to Banner Health and get fixed up and the doctor feel you full of painkillers. And you know what he says in verse 17? That's just a light affliction. Why? Because Paul was some wacko that liked to have pain? No, because he had what? A proper thinking process about what was going on with him. For our light affliction, verse 17, is but for a moment. Worketh for us. Notice what he thought about all that in chapter 11. What did it do for him? What does it do for you and I? You know, I tried this one time, for 2 weeks. I tried to unplug from the internet for 2 weeks. I saw it wasn't going to work, so I tried 2 days. I lasted 20 minutes. I went into the Circle K and I asked the guy, I said, look, I need a job for the summer, blah, blah, blah. I need a job. I need this and that. And he goes, you need to go online and fill out an application. Now, you know what they do with those online applications, don't you? It's called DEL. Delete, 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 delete. So real quickly, what did I understand? That for the moment, I got to go back and get plugged back in. But the circumstance isn't easy, is it? You need the job. You got to work. I got family to feed. I got this. I got 2.5 months of no work. I got to do this. You know, and next thing, what consumes you? The work. That. And you quit thinking about everything else. Wife comes in, you snap at her. Kids come in, you kick them out the house. You're not thinking right, are you? Paul says, when you handle it right, it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. You know your thinking process about your circumstance, you know what it ought to be? Verse 18. This stuff's just temporal, it's just gonna it'll go away, it's for the moment. But man, that other stuff is for eternity, and I need to be focusing on that. Now, I got a job, so I found something. But the thing of it is the circumstances. And we today, we can real easy give in to the circumstances of life. You know that? We were coming back 2 weeks in Chicago. We were driving back. I told my wife, I said, you know what the greatest thing was I didn't have to hear any news. I didn't have to read a newspaper. I didn't have to hear about how the government's doing this to us and that to us. I didn't have to hear any of that. This week, if you stay off the internet, guess what? You won't know any of that either, will you? And your mind can be right back where it should be. A sound mind. We can real easy give into the circumstances. But a sound mind. Go back to 2 Timothy 4. But a sound mind, established on sound doctrine, renewed daily, will stay the course no matter what comes your way. 2 Timothy 4, Paul here, verse number 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Back over there, verse 10 and 11 of chapter 3, he says, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. And you know what Paul says? I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. I've fought a good fight. I've done what has been required of me to do, and that's I've kept the faith. And you know what came Paul's way? Man, Paul got stuff that you and I will never see happen to him. And you know what he did? He stayed right where he's supposed to be. Now come back to Philippians 4, and we'll close with the verse we started with, because this is the think on these things. Philippians 4, verse number 8 again. When you don't know what to think about, this is a verse you ought to be thinking about. Philippians 4, verse number 8 again. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Is there something or someone that you know that matches every one of those descriptions? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the sound doctrine. Whatsoever things are true, genuine, pure, real, true, faithful, honest. Over there in Romans 3 it says, let God be true and every man a liar. Who's true? Who's the only one that you know is completely honest, completely faithful all the time? Jesus Christ is. The sound doctrine is. The Word of God is. Honest. Whatsoever things are honest, upright, fair, just, decent. Today, if you don't have a signed contract reviewed by 10 lawyers, you're in trouble. Here you don't. Who is honest? The only one I know is the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Again, true, founded in truth and fact, faithful. Whatsoever things are pure, genuine, real. Whatsoever things are lovely. That word lovely, it's defined as something that possesses the qualities that may invite affection. What is lovely to you? Most guys, it's the girl walks by and she is lovely. But what is lovely to you? Who is lovely to you? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who you are in Christ. Man, I don't know if... Man, who you are in Christ, that's fantastic. You can't beat that with an ugly stick. That's fantastic. If whatsoever things are of good report, well spoken of. What's well spoken of? Sound doctrine. The Lord Jesus Christ. If there be any, I love this one, virtue, excellence, what constitutes value and merit? What's virtuous to you? If there be any praise, that's to commend, to applaud, to magnify, to glorify with words. Think on these things. What is that? Who is that? It's who you are in Christ. That's the sound doctrine. That's you obeying Ephesians 5 and 6. That's you taking care of 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18 there. When the light moment comes in and you turn your eyes right back over to Christ and you say, okay, Lord, it's not my life, it's Your life. And You've got to help me get through this, and I'm going to get through it through the comfort of the Scriptures. And when you come over, there's a verse, we're coming to it in our study, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That renewed, that thinking process. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Over there in Matthew, he says a man's going to give, he's going to be judged according to every idle word. Whew. Having the right thinking process. Philippians 4 verse 8, when he says there, think on these things, what are you thinking on? I'm not talking about riding down the street going, oh, I'm just thinking about Christ. Pay attention to where you're driving, because I'm either in front of you or behind you. But it's when the circumstances get rough. I tell the folks at church, things are going smooth. You better be studying the doctrine and putting it on, because it's easier to put in the doctrine than when life all of a sudden gets bumpy. I heard a story about loading a ship at sea. Smooth, they could load that ship in an hour, maybe two. But at 40-foot seas and at knots, take them 8 days. 8 days. 8 hours. 12 hours. Why? It's not easy, is it? Tossed to and fro. But man, when the sailing's going smooth, and you know what? If you're thinking properly, guess what? It's always going smooth. Paul says, think on these things. We must take control of our thinking and utilize our renewed mind. You renew it by taking in the Word of God. You renew it. And when you do it, guess what you start doing? You start thinking properly. And you start focusing on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, and praise. And then you can go, wow, that was really a problem. And then when someone else comes along, you know what you can do, you can go up there and comfort them and help them out and say, hey, dummy, this is what I did, and help them out. Okay? Think on these things. Take control of your thinking and utilize the process of renewing our minds through the Scripture. And that's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job. You just can't tick it on here and tick it on there. Okay? Paul tells Timothy over there, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. First thing he told Timothy is give exhortation to reading. Reading the Word. Alrighty? Alright, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the morning, Lord. We thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I just pray that we would think on these things. Have the sound mind, operate in the sound mind, and renew our minds with the Scripture. And we'll just give You the praise and the glory. In Your name we pray. Amen.